Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Monday, August 7th. Hospitals in Colorado have an ongoing challenge treating patients with mental health problems. Eric Galatis filed this story.
As the Colorado Mental Health Institute in Pueblo continues to struggle with staffing shortages and rising caseloads, a program in Arapahoe County could point the way for slowing down the jail-to-hospital pipeline. Nancy Jackson, an Arapahoe County commissioner, says early behavioral and mental health screenings can help reserve hospitalization for those who truly need it.
Most folks can be treated with traditional kinds of therapies and be fine in the community, but they need to be treated, and they can't be treated unless they've been assessed in some way.
Colorado's prison system is currently the largest inpatient provider of behavioral health services in the state, and most of the patients in Pueblo are court-referred. Jackson says the state has taken steps to make improvements, but notes the process is slow-going, mainly due to lack of resources. She points to the Restoring Individuals Safely and Effectively program, which acts as a stopgap measure to provide people deemed unfit for trial with appropriate treatment as a model that should be built upon. Before the program was in place, Jackson says people suffering from mental or behavioral disorders could spend weeks behind bars without access to care or justice. But she says the real challenge is to reach people before low-level symptoms escalate and become much more difficult to treat.
There's also a real problem with stigma. Everybody I know knows somebody who's got some kind of mental health issues. It's not something to be ashamed of. It's part of the human condition.
In May, Governor John Hickenlooper signed a bill that adds $7 million to the Office of Behavioral Health in an effort to strengthen the state's crisis system, which includes a 24-hour hotline staffed by professional counselors, a peer line, walk-in crisis centers, and stabilization centers. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
The state commission charged with looking into passenger rail along Colorado's Front Range recently held its first meeting. From Rocky Mountain Community Radio Exchange member KRCC, Andrea Chalfin has more.
The group is an expansion of the previous Southwest Chief Commission and still tasked with working to preserve and improve the long-distance Amtrak route that travels through southern Colorado as well as connect it to Pueblo. Committee member Jim Subi heads the Colorado Rail Passenger Association, a Denver-based advocacy group.
Obviously, that Front Range Rail would be fantastic if it could connect with the Southwest Chief in Pueblo. So it kind of fits together.
Subi says the commission expects to resubmit a Southwest Chief application for federal funds. It's also preparing draft legislation on Front Range passenger rail for state lawmakers. That's due December 1st. Subi says he doesn't expect finalized plans, but the group is looking at models elsewhere and requirements for federal funding. The commission does not sunset, which he says indicates the legislature recognizes it's a long-term project. For 91.5 KRCC News, I'm Andrea Chalfin in Colorado Springs.
After a 4.2 magnitude earthquake in Oklahoma recently, other states with fracking look to manage the billions of gallons of wastewater the process creates. For Inside Energy, Joe Wirtz reports this story.
The oil and gas industry has a love-hate relationship with water. Energy producers need water. It's used for mud and cement to lubricate, cap, and seal off wells. And oil companies use a ton of water mixed with sand and other chemicals for fracking, which is fueling the U.S. oil boom. Reed Durfee, a manager with Newfield Exploration, says water is such a precious resource during drilling and fracking, there's often not enough to go around.
You can't rely on Mother Nature's to execute your plan. During normal times, as operations pick up, there's probably not enough fresh water for everybody to execute their plans.
Durfee says in the oil field, water is also a huge burden, one that comes with major economic and environmental costs. Water is expensive to move and store with trucks, pipelines, and tanks, and some unwanted water is toxic, like used frack water and water from ancient oceans that's trapped with oil and gas. Scientists say the mass-scale pumping of that toxic water back underground disrupted faults and made Oklahoma a global earthquake hotspot. One part of a possible solution, find a way for oil companies to reuse that wastewater instead of injecting it into oil field disposal wells.
So how do we do that? And that's what the process that we're doing today, recycle something that we used to think was a waste stream.
It's an overcast day in late July. Electricians and engineers are scurrying around doing final checks and tests on Newfield's new Barton Water Recycling Facility. The 40-acre site is north of El Reno and located in the Stack, a booming Oklahoma oil field that's drawn national attention.
It's a hot play. There's a lot of activity, as you saw when we drove up here. A lot of rigs standing in the air.
The Barton facility is designed to recycle up to 30,000 barrels of oil field wastewater a day. That means all the wastewater from 40 of Newfield's well sites can be reused instead of being pumped underground. That means less pressure on faults and fuel for earthquakes.
You remove the problem, hopefully, or you reduce the risk.
Site engineer Ben Lloyd is going to explain how it works. Most of the wastewater comes to the recycling facility via pipeline.
Pumps there pump up into this very first tank, which is called the desander tank. The idea there is that it basically creates a little bit of a vortex, drops out solids in that tank.
Water enters other tanks where oil and other contaminants are separated off and chemicals and bacteria are added.
The goal there is to feed the good bacteria to crowd out the bad and also oxidize any iron sulfates and drop out as solids in the bottom of the pits.
Eventually, the wastewater is piped into a colossal plastic-lined pond where compressors pump it full of air. Those solid wastes are eventually hauled off, but the water is piped into a separate plastic-lined pond. Now that it's filtered and treated, it's clean enough for Newfield to reuse it for drilling and fracking. The whole process should take about 21 days.
We're checking water samples in this pit, in that pit, multiple places inside the battery, making sure we have our chemistry correct and kind of dialing in the process as we need. So, about ready to turn this thing on.
Durfee, the Newfield manager, says the $40 million recycling facility should mean the oil company no longer has to use its main disposal well in the Stack oil field. The Houston-based company won't have to buy and move as much fresh water for drilling and fracking.
And if you can have an infrastructure in place that can help eliminate some of that distance and some of the expanse, it's a huge competitive advantage.
Oklahoma still experiences an unusually large number of earthquakes, but the frequency has dropped since state authorities imposed restrictions on disposal wells, the kind of wells regulators and industry hope recycling centers like this might one day replace. Another benefit to Newfield's recycling center, it could reduce reliance on one of the most dangerous and environmentally risky parts of the oil business, truckloads of toxic water, up to 250 of them a day in this patch of Oklahoma oil field alone. I'm Joe Wirtz.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Monday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.